On today's BizNews briefing, Prince Mashele comes down hard on Cyril. The ANC says the DA is working against the national interest. Cronje says Zille as Johannesburg mayor could be the smartest political strategy. Communications Minister Solly Malatsi shares insights on Starlink's entry into South Africa. And Trump says he is not going to fire Fed Chair Jerome Powell. It's Thursday, the 17th of July, and this is your BizNews briefing. I'm Bronwyn Nielsen. In today's top story, author and political analyst Prince Mashele delivers explosive opinions on Cyril Ramaphosa on Sizwe Mpofu Welsh's YouTube platform, SMWX. Let's dip into that conversation.
Cyril Ramaphosa will go down in history as one of the most useless presidents we have had after 1994. And I don't mince my words, useless. The Zuma will go down in this as the most criminal. But let's park that. We've dealt with Zuma many times. You see, there is a moment for a leader of a country to show leadership, to lead his nation. Cyril Ramaphosa missed the moment. He was outside. Mkhwana has told us what he knows. We're all shocked. We're expecting that he was going to be decisive. That's Cyril Ramaphosa. He did not act like a leader. He has completely forgotten his responsibilities. Let me tell you, I know how the state works. I worked in government myself. So I know what I'm talking about. A president is client number one of our intelligence services.
Absolutely.
They report to the president.
Yeah. Yeah.
The president is supposed to get briefings, intelligence briefings, every single day in the morning. Before he begins his activities, he's supposed to be told what is happening in the country. So there is absolutely nothing that Mkhwana knows that Cyril Ramaphosa does not know.
Such an important point, actually.
So this idea that there must be a commission of inquiry to investigate as if the president does not know what is happening is absolute nonsense. In fact, he is insulting our intelligence as a society. He knows. He even knows more than what Mkhwana knows. So there is absolutely nothing for him to find out. He knows Mkunu is in the pockets of criminals. He knows that. But he cannot act sternly against Mkunu. Why? Because he and Mkunu are partners in crime.
Meanwhile, the presidency says it is concerned about the Democratic Alliance's persistent campaign against South Africa's national interest and its attempts to allegedly embarrass the country. It says that the Democratic Alliance is trying to exploit a critical engagement between South Africa and the United States to protest President Ramaphosa's removal of Andrew Whitfield as Trade and Industry Deputy Minister.
The presidency is concerned about the Democratic Alliance's persistent campaign against South Africa's national interest and its posture of trying to embarrass and belittle our country. And in this specific circumstance, Mr. Jonas. This campaign has its origins in a Democratic Alliance visit to the United States earlier this year to advance an ideological agenda rather than our national interest.
Meanwhile, BizNews founder Alec Hogg spoke to KwaZulu-Natal National Business Chamber Chair Melanie Vaness, who says exporters in the region are struggling to see a future with 40% tariffs looming. And she says that nothing appears to be happening in terms of on-the-ground negotiations.
What's coming back in our engagements with our counterparts in America is that we've taken a lot of time explaining why things are as they are and why they should stay as we think they should stay. In other words, we're saying things like, well, you know, our citrus is grown at the opposite time of the year. It's counter-cyclical to their citrus. So why are they taking an issue with our citrus? But that's not flying. They're saying these are the things that make trade, in their view, unfair. Their position now is that they want to address non-reciprocal trade practices. They want to address their trade deficits, specifically in agriculture. And it's not time to tell the United States why it is that things should stay the same, but we have to tell them how things are going to be different. And it's time to negotiate a new agreement. They are an important trade partner for us. And in our view, we are saying, you know, make the best deal you possibly can, address the issues that you can address in terms of policy. And some of that stuff can be addressed. Make the best deal that you can, and then start negotiating new trade, favorable trade agreements with other partners, and protect our industry and pivot as soon as you can.
Alec also caught up with political scientist Dr. Franz Cronje, who says Helen Ziller's potential mayoral bid for Johannesburg could be a masterful political move ahead of South Africa's 2029 general election.
Should Helen Ziller, over the next year, be able to position her campaign in Johannesburg in such a way that she wins the city with a majority, because that's important, in the local elections, likely early 2027. And then, which she is capable of, lead a process over the next year or 18 months to stage some kind of recovery in the city, which isn't difficult given how far it's fallen. Based on our understanding of a lot of other data, we think that achievement will be perhaps the thing that breaks a big block of the ANC vote for the DA come the election in 2029, because it will be such a visible demonstration. Should she win and should she turn it around? So lots of shoulds, long time to go. We can talk about the prospects. But should those two events happen, the public demonstration of it in Gauteng, the economic center, the home of the aspirant middle class, this once dominant ANC kind of a peri-urban voting market, the demonstration of that may be sufficient to break a big block of the ANC. And where the two parties are currently positioned at the moment, the figures are DA in the mid to high 20s, the ANC back at just around 40, just below, just above 40. Let this chain of events play out. You can easily see that ANC number move low into the 30s, maybe even below that. And you could easily see the DA number jump up into the mid to high 30s and perhaps even arrival of 40s as an extreme outcome. You get an election result in 2029. That's the flip of what we had in 2024.
That full interview is available on Biz News TV on the YouTube platform. Minister of Communications and Digital Technology, Solly Malatsi, engaged on the DA's new weekly podcast. Here's his response when asked whether Starlink would be entering South Africa anytime soon.
Starlink coming or not?
Well, Starlink will still, if they want to come to South Africa, they must still go through the process of applying for a license in South Africa. Mm-hmm. And I know this topic, like, you know, tilitates a lot of people. They get very, very, very excited. You don't make regulations for one individual.
It has to be uniform for everyone.
Yeah. Right? Mm. And they, like any other company, must go through that process. Right?
Good.
What my initiative for is to say that let's open both doors of the 30% local ownership and the equity equivalent and that they are available at all times and that the choice must permanently be available to everyone. Whether your friends in the UIA, as an example, may want to enter South Africa through a different venture, that be the case. The conversation that underlies your question is the fact that in terms of options for connectivity, the reality is that satellites are one of those instruments, right? So for me, I am not obsessed. And quite frankly, I care less where the source of the satellites comes from.
Yeah.
If it comes from Asia, if it comes from Europe, if it comes
as
from Scandinavia,
what we need.
As long as it's offering a solution that can help us get communities connected, that's great. Mm-hmm. What then needs to happen is, in doing so, like any other operator, they must then be scrutinized on their conditions. Because what our regulator does, which is ICASA, even after they've granted you a license or as part of the conditions to grant you a license, they can outline whatever do's and don'ts so that if you violate those, you're out.
Yeah.
Right? And that is dependent on each and every application. Yeah.
Cody from Paul has sold multiple vehicles to WeBuy Cars. Suspicious?
I think so.
Is that a crime?
No.
Where are you getting the cars?
I buy them and I sell them at the spot like a normal person.
Okay.
No, man, I'm just an accounting student. I know a good deal when I see one.
That's Excel meant. What's more stressful, tax season or selling a car at WeBuy Cars?
Tax season, obviously.
WeBuy Cars, the easiest way to sell your car by far.
Right now, you can get the cheapest Forex rate around, right here, on Shift. Pay less for your dollars, pounds, and euros here, and get to shop more here, and do more here, and enjoy more ooh-la-la here. Shift also lets you trade and transfer currencies, and buy shares in the world's best companies. It all happens right here, on Shift. You won't find a cheaper Forex rate anywhere else, no matter where you bank. Download the Shift app today.
At Sun Exchange, we make going solar simple, profitable, and completely risk-free. Join over 100 satisfied South African customers already enjoying the benefits of risk-free solar. Start saving today. Visit sunexchange.com and join the solar revolution.
Donald Trump denies that he is seeking to remove Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell. This after allegedly raising the idea in a closed-door meeting with congressional Republicans that leaked to the media.
There's a bit of an eye roll going on with a lot of people because we've been through this so many times with Donald Trump, and the whole idea of Taco came up again. So nobody was surprised when he came out and denied the earlier reports that he was ready to fire the president, perhaps as early Fed chair, perhaps as early as today. But the general feeling has been, and we talked about this a lot at dinner last night, that the president won't do it because it doesn't get him very far. It would probably, as we saw this morning, lead to a steepening of the yield curve, a widening of spreads, the dollar falling, and interest rates would go up rather than down in the markets. And it would just create a lot of confusion and hurt the Fed's credibility. It would also end up in court. So he might try to remove the Fed chair, but it would take many months of legal maneuvering to get that far. And really, Powell doesn't have that much longer to go as chair.
You said that there was a little bit of eye rolling because this is sort of a movie that we've seen before. Let's take a listen to the rhetoric from the president just over the last few months when it comes to the chair of the Federal Reserve.
And the fake news is saying, oh, if you fired him, it would be so bad. It would be so bad. I don't know why it would be so bad.
So we have a stupid person, frankly, at the Fed. I call him too late, Powell, because he's always too late.
I know within three or four people who I'm going to pick. I mean, he goes out pretty soon, fortunately, because I think he's terrible.
I'd love him to resign if he wanted to. He's done a lousy job.
Jerome Powell's been very bad for our country. We should have the lowest interest rate on earth, and we don't. He just refuses to do it, and yet he's spending $2.5 billion rebuilding the Fed.
He's a terrible Fed chair. I was surprised he was appointed. We're not planning on doing anything. We're very concerned.
That was President Trump over the last few months. His rhetoric around Fed Chair Jay Powell. It's in chronological order, and I want to point people to the part just before the last soundbite where he said he's spending $2.5 billion rebuilding the Fed. Mike, is there any there with this new line of attack when it comes to this renovation?
Well, there are questions about why the renovation has gone up from $1.7 billion to $2.5 billion. And I suppose those are things that could be investigated. And Powell has asked the Fed's inspector general to look into it. The Fed's response so far has been that these plans were approved in 2021. And obviously, right after that, we had a big inflation. And so the costs of everything have gone up. They also argue that a lot of things that the administration is focused on, or some of the administration officials who tweeted about it are focused on, are things that are actually not in the final plans. And so it doesn't appear that there's a lot there. Is it enough for cause to fire a Fed governor? That would be up for the courts to decide. And as I said, that would take some time. So I don't know that that's a big deal. In that string of Trump quotes, I would also point to the one where Trump said, "I was surprised he was appointed." Well, Trump appointed him as chair.
Elon Musk's business SpaceX is planning a private share sale that would boost the company's value. Bloomberg's Ed Ludlow has all the details.
SpaceX is planning an insider share sale that would value the company at about $400 billion. That's according to our sources. The per share price is $212, and that's up substantially from the $185 set in the prior transaction. That was December. This deal marks a rapidly climbing value for Musk's rocket and satellite maker, which is now the most valuable private startup in the world.
That brings us to the end of this BizNews briefing. We'll be back with more context on both the local and global front on Monday. Thanks as always for joining us.